Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl Podcast, Conversations from the Heart. So I gotta start this show off and say I barely have a voice. It's a little better today. Yesterday I could barely talk at all. So my voice, I feel like I'm in puberty or something. My voice just kind of goes and then it comes back. So bear with me for this show, okay? And to give you a little view, little lay of the land, what's going on in my life on week, what is it? Is it week three of mold crisis? I think it's week three. It feels more like month three, to be honest. I am recording this in my office at Island Yoga, at our yoga studio. It's been so long since I recorded a podcast here. I mean, years. So in a way, it feels a little bit nostalgic to sit here in my old office chair at my old desk. You know, we've been taking such a long break from being at the studio and doing retreats and trainings and things like that. I used to record the podcast here in between sessions and classes all the time. And, you know, I have this beautiful, perfect podcast set up in my house and I miss it so much. But the house is now, it's basically like a crime scene. That's what it feels like. It's like contaminated. You know, we're not allowed to walk inside. It's a trip. And I'm gonna share a little bit about this, I mean, definitely, you know, traumatic, long, crazy crisis that we're in right now. And also try to shed just a little bit of light for people asking. I'm getting so many questions, of course, around like what actually is mold? Is it something that you listening, you know, should you worry about this? Could it be something that's playing out in your home? And kind of what are some steps that you can take in case you feel worried that maybe you've had water damage in your house or you have visible mold somewhere? Or, and this I find is particularly interesting, if you have some sort of invisible illness, right? For so many people who go down this path of finding out they are living or have been living with toxic mold, it comes as a last resort after having worked with different kinds of doctors for a long time where no one can tell you, you know, what's wrong with you. So I'm gonna share a little bit about my expertise now. I feel like I feel like a mold expert now. I know everything. I know a lot. But yeah, let's tune into the body. Let's tune into the body. Let's just drop right in. So if you want to close your eyes, I'm sensing this like immediate hesitation to actually close my eyes right now. I have been crying all morning. I think part of why my voice is like this, I mean, it's mold illness and it's in my respiratory system and my throat and my sinuses and it gets bad and then it gets better. But I'm also doing a lot of crying, you know, which doesn't really help. I mean, it helps, but it also doesn't help. So I'm sensing now just a little bit of hesitancy to like really drop into my body because I know there are so many emotions right at the surface of my heart. So just check in a little bit with yourself, you know, when we do these practices of just closing the eyes and connecting to ourselves, sometimes there can be a little bit of resistance there, you know, almost like, oh, I don't know if I want to go there. It can be really hard to drop in and be in the present moment. So if you're sensing some hesitancy or resistance, sometimes that shows up as boredom. Right? Like we're not interested, you know, maybe you listen to this show and you skip the first 10, 15 minutes of every show because you're like, oh, I don't want to do that practice, right? So resistance to being here now or to really drop into the body, or maybe we have some fear around what's going to actually be there, like what we're going to find if we really drop in. It can manifest in different ways, you know, like feeling like tuning in is just boring or not necessary also. So without judging any of that, right? There's no such thing as bad or good when it comes to how present we are able to be with ourselves in this moment, right? We are where we are for a reason. but tune into that a little bit. Maybe get a little bit curious around your relationship with yourself in this here and now. You know, does your body feel like a safe space for you to drop into? Do you feel like your body is supporting you in this moment? Or do you feel supported enough by the world to really be here in your body in this moment? Just check in. And if it's been a while since you were here, you know, maybe there's a lot for you to sit with or a lot for you to process and actually look at. And it can be a hard thing to actually open up that doorway and to really look within, especially if we've been dealing with a lot of hardship lately. So what do we do about that? Well, we approach ourselves with kindness. With kindness. That's it. So if there's a little bit of resistance here right now, bring a bit of kindness into that. Just breathe a little bit of love, a little bit of support for yourself. You know, of course it's hard to really tune in if we're holding a lot of heavy things. Of course, makes total sense. If you're sensing boredom, you know, why do these podcast episodes begin with this kind of practice? Just hold yourself in that. Breathe a little bit of compassion into that place of, oh, whenever I arrive at these places, like I check out a little bit. I've deemed it not interesting. Okay, what does that mean? Or what does that tell me about myself in this now? So just breathing here. And if you're sensing in this moment, this big welcoming feeling of, oh, I feel so good dropping into my body. I just want to be here. Then feeling into that and breathing space into that as well. And just to slow things down a little bit, let's take a few slow breaths, breathing in through the nose and out through the nose. And taking this time just to feel into what's actually moving inside of you right now. And as with every time we drop into this practice like this, we're going to have a different answer every time, right? We're going to have a different experience every single time. And the practice is to be with ourselves in that experience, you know, even when it's hard, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's overwhelming, to just take a moment to breathe with what is here now without having to fix anything, without having to shift anything around, without having to make excuses or apologize, you know, just stay right here. And if you like, you can take your dominant hand, just put it on top of your heart for a moment. And really make that connection hand to chest, hand to heartbeat. And let this moment just be a little opportunity for you to really meet yourself today. Maybe your day's been really busy, right? Going from thing to thing, place to place. Maybe you're spending a lot of time absorbed in your mind or a lot of time absorbed with your phone. You know, this could be the first moment you've really had today to really meet yourself. To go, hey, how am I doing? Really? How's my heart today? How's my body today? How's my soul today? What is this human experience like for me today? Just breathing with that for a little bit. And we don't have to do anything with that. That's the beauty of this. We don't have to do anything with this. We're just expanding our ability to hold ourselves the way we are. This practice of being versus the practice of doing all the time. And just taking another minute or so to linger here with you, hand to heart, breathing, feeling, staying right here. Now, if it feels good to just linger the way you are, you know, eyes can stay closed. Keep your hand to your heart. You can listen to this whole show like this if you want, you know, just totally breathing in this moment. If you like, you can flutter the eyes open and take a moment to orient yourself back in the room. Maybe a little stretch if that feels good. Hey guys. It's funny, this hesitance I feel to drop into my body. Like, I'm really sensing that a lot. There is this almost constant state of overwhelm inside of me right now. It manifests in a lot of different ways. More often than not, I'm crying. This is for me. You know, like I cry a lot. I cry normally in my normal, stable life at home. I probably cry every day at some little point, you know, but I prefer for that to happen in the privacy of my own home, right? Like a space where I feel safe. It's usually through a practice, through dance, through yoga, through tea, like through something. But these days, I am crying with strangers, you guys. I'm crying with strangers. I've cried at the grocery store, at the gas station, checking in at a hotel, like crying with my daughter, crying with my husband, crying on my own. Like I'm so close to this overwhelm every moment of the day that I've reached this place where just I can't really keep it together anymore. Like that's the feeling I have. And for me, someone who basically have a master's degree in keeping it together. I've been doing it my whole life. I am a master of soldiering on and pushing through and making it through, you know, keeping it together. Like I can do that. And right now, I can't. It's even like I've lost interest in pretending I have it together somehow. It's like I'm unraveling in a way. And I had a session with my therapist today. Thank God that, you know, to have someone to talk to in a dedicated space just for me every week. I mean, lifesaver. And I said, you know, I'm totally unraveling. I'm falling apart. And she said, good. Finally. Like, good. You know, that's a good thing. So a little bit of, yeah, I guess background information for where we are right now, just throughout this week. So about a week ago, yeah, after last week's podcast, we moved into a new Airbnb. We've been Airbnb hopping, trying to figure out this toxic mold situation. And I'm realizing now I'm a lot sicker than I thought I was. And it's manifesting in so many different ways right now. And I don't know if I'm already detoxing and that's why things are really, really bad. I'm hoping, and that it's not like I'm in a flare up of something chronic that's going to last for years or something like that, which can totally be the case with mold. Oftentimes it takes years to get it out of your system, you know. But I am so sick. I mean, you can hear my voice, right? Trigger warning, I'm going to say something super gross. So skip 30 seconds ahead if you don't want to hear something gross. Every morning I wake up choking on my own phlegm. Like I'm not even kidding. I wake up choking, like I'm in a, and I have to just cough and cough and cough. And the amount of like dark, disgusting, like deep yellow, like almost brown phlegm coming out of me right now is terrifying. I mean, it's good that it's coming out, you know, and I've been reading a lot online that when you drastically minimize your mold exposure, if you've been exposed for years, you know, you can get all of these massive reactions to the body detoxifying, right? So since we moved out and we cleaned everything we own, so there's probably some level of mold that we're still living with through like I haven't had the heart to throw away Leia's one stuffed animal that she cares about, Bear. We've washed him, I don't know how many times. with borax and with vinegar and with, you know, all the things. But stuffed animals is one of those things that's pretty certain. Like you can't really clean. I mean, you can't really. But since we've been Airbnb hopping and we're not in a permanent or long-term solution yet, I've kind of accepted like we are living with some level of mold. But, you know, we've minimized it by at least 90% more, probably. So when you have that kind of a drastic like reduction of exposure, it's common that you just start to detoxify really heavily. And I hope that's what's happening. I hope it's my body gathering all these mycotoxins and mold spores in my body and getting them out of my system through phlegm. Like, I hope so. But it's a terrifying thing to wake up choking. It's like my body is suffocating me or something, you know. And I'm coughing, not as bad as it was, but I'm still coughing. I have a hard time breathing. My ears are blocked. And I have crazy sinus stuff just all the time, headaches. And then I'm tired. I'm not even tired. I'm fatigued. Like, that's like the next level tired. I'm tired. I wake up tired, go to bed tired, tired all the way in between. Those are sort of the gist of my symptoms, basically. Leia has really bad eczema, and it got worse when we left the house, which, again, people have told me can be a sign of detoxification. The body detoxifies through skin, right? It's like one doctor said, it's good that she has a reaction through her skin. It means her body is working for her, like getting the toxins out. And, you know, with that, of course, you're not supposed to use any kind of like cortisone creams or steroids or like nothing like that. Like, that's not going to work in any way. It'd probably make things worse. So you just have to kind of wait it out. I'm using a really gentle like calendula cream on it, but it's hard, you know, to just kind of trust your instinct when your kid is suffering. And like, all I want to do is like get everything at the pharmacy and cover her with it. But right now I know that's not it. I don't want to lock this stuff in. We want it out. So we're just keeping her hydrated and hoping this will pass soon. Dennis is the only one without symptoms, right? He goes to the house, he sneezes. He can get a sneezing attack that can last. Like, the man can sneeze 50 times in a row. Like, he can sneeze till his nose is going to fall off. But that's it. And then he'll leave the house and it just stops, right? He doesn't seem to be having any big or, you know, major reactions. So I'm going to knock on some wood, hoping things stay that way. So yeah, we had this big, really expensive, big inspection booked 3 weeks from now, coming from the US. And we were kind of on hold, like a little bit in limbo, waiting for this big inspection so that we can get a plan and try to figure out what to do and can we afford it and what's going to happen. And then every day, just in this place of limbo, you know, trying to figure out our lives, not being able to make any decisions, like being totally homeless, not knowing if we can keep anything in the house. You know, it's been so, so, so hard. The hardest part for me has been being this sick, going through all of this, not having a place to rest, you know, not having a place to ground or to even begin to try to heal, you know. But worst of all is that no one really believed me, you know. And I'm hearing this from a lot of people. Like, I'm speaking to a lot of people who've gone through the same thing. There are so many families out there who went through this. Crazy. I'm like in shock that more people don't talk about it. I feel like it's getting more common now. People are kind of accepting that mold toxicity is very real. It's a huge issue, especially in the US. I mean, I know there's been so many lawsuits and big things toward contractors and builders and like apartment building owners and things like that. So I think there's more systems in place in the US. There's a lot of remediation companies and doctors and things like that. In Europe, people don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Honestly, like, my dad literally called me asking if I was crazy, you know, like, are you sure you're not overreacting? Like, this doesn't sound. I spoke to my brother. He was like totally downplaying it. Like, you know what? Like, because he manages these properties and renters and stuff. We found mold in one of those places and not even a thing. You know, you just clean it up. Like, it's not a thing, you know. Everyone kind of talks to me with this casual, like, mold is not a big deal thing. It doesn't, you probably don't even have it because you can't see it anywhere. Like, that's the thing people have been telling me. You did this one test. What test was that? And then a lot of people have been sending me links to like discredit that test. Like, that test doesn't work. That test isn't real. You can't do it yourself. Blah, blah, blah. You need to have all of these things. And I'm like, here I am, 3 years into like trying to figure out if we have mold. We had so many inspections done, they couldn't find anything, but I keep pushing, right? If I didn't intuitively feel something isn't right with this house, I would have stopped pushing. When the first inspector at our house said, you don't have mold, you have dust, I would have gone, okay, thanks, bye. And then moved on with my day, but I didn't, right? I had another inspector come and then another one come. Three people told me there's nothing wrong with your house. And still, I fucking know something isn't right. So at the end of it all, it's like you have to trust your gut if you have that big feeling like something is not right. And then I do this test and it comes out like massively high. Okay. But then I get no validation, right? None. It became more like, well, does that test really work kind of thing? And I've had to explain my symptoms and I've had to really, honestly, it's like no one has seen me in this. That's been the hardest fucking thing. And, you know, I love my husband to death, but this is probably the hardest, most challenging thing we've been through as a couple, I'm going to say, ever. And a big part of that is I don't feel seen by him. And he's really trying, like he's really, really trying. And I get that it's hard for him to wrap his head around this at all. Like, how can something that you can't see, that you have no, what he feels like viable proof exists in the house? Like, he also didn't really believe that this test was real. He was asking me if I did the test wrong. Like, is there some way you could have messed that up? Like, should we do another one? Like, he wants a second opinion, third opinion. And I'm like, here I am. And I know, like, I know it in my bones. I fucking know we have mold in this house and it's bad. Like, I know it. I fucking know it. And then through all of this, it's like, we just have to wait, right? This inspection, they're 3 weeks away and we've been waiting 2 weeks already. It's like a month and over a month of just waiting in limbo, fighting about how bad is it and is it real, you know? And I just feel so unseen, unheard, gaslighted, like I really have no one to talk to. I have one friend of mine, Michaela. She's one of my best friends. She lives in Sweden. She went through this a few years ago where she lived in a really moldy house and got super ill. I mean, like crazy, scary ill. And she talks about it like in passing, kind of. And I get that now because you can't talk to people who haven't had a mold experience about mold. You can't. Like, no one's going to understand. No one's going to, it's like you can't understand it if you haven't gone through it. So even the friends I have who are trying to be really supportive, I can tell a few minutes into me talking about the situation, their eyes kind of glaze over and then the conversation shifts to something else. And it's almost like I'm in a trauma here, you know, like I need a hug. Like I need more. That's what I'm feeling. Like I need more from the people in my life, but they haven't been able to step up and give me what I need because they don't understand. And it's not their fault. It's not from lack of love or lack of them trying. It's just very hard to understand. Like it, I get that. But that's been my feeling for the past weeks. It's just like I'm totally alone, you know, and I'm trying to move this family forward and solve all these problems and fix our lives. And I'm sick, you know, it's like, and I feel like I'm doing it all alone. I can't, you know, so I hit this point of like, I can't be the one to, I can't do it, you know, and I just started crying. And I really haven't stopped crying. Which is why anytime anyone asks me, like even like this girl at a check-in desk, I took Leia to a hotel for a few days. She's like, how are you? Welcome. How can I help you? How are you? And I was like, what? Just want to cry. Like I can't have someone ask me how I'm doing without crying. So we went from this first Airbnb we were in to a second one, and immediately, and I'm telling you, I got opened the door to this house and I got sick. Right away, I got sick. And it was like, it was, you know, if my symptoms were at a 30%, they went to 130 overnight. And I know there's something not right in this house. There's mold in this house. And I look at Dennis and he's like, you know, of course, like, I get it. How crazy must your wife be? Like, you're doing the best you can, moving out of your home, and here's another Airbnb, and now that's not good enough either. Like, from the outside, I get how easy it is to just say, like, I'm nuts. I'm a pain in the ass, forcing our family to be uprooted, doing all this stuff, you know. So then I brought a cleaner over to the Airbnb. This woman, I mean, she's like family. She helps us at the house. And she spent 30 minutes in this Airbnb and she got super sick. And her eyes are watering, totally red. Her nose is running. She's coughing like crazy. And she's like, Rachel, I haven't felt like this since I was at your house last. And then Dennis goes, oh, okay, maybe there is mold here. And I'm like, hello? Like, I'm standing here wearing a sign on my forehead that's saying, like, there's mold here. Like, why isn't it enough that I am sick, right? That I'm telling you that this is it. It's like, it's been really, really, really frustrating, right? So I couldn't stay at that house. So I took Leia to a hotel and we spent 3 nights there alone. And here's the craziest thing that happened, like, this week. This, I don't know if it's like the grace of God, universe, like synchronicity, just magic, okay? So we're waiting for this inspector to come from the U.S., costing thousands and thousands of dollars. Like, it's scary how expensive a proper inspection is, right? And there's no one here that can do it. So we have to wait for these guys and they have to come from the States. The investment to get a proper inspection done, like a medical grade mold inspection, is worth it if you're sick, right? If you're sick and you want to live at home in your house, like, it's the only, it's if you can rally up that money somehow, like, it makes sense, right? But we've been waiting in this limbo. And then I'm at this hotel with Leia, and Leia's nanny, like her old babysitter, called me. She says, Rachel, I found a mold inspector on the island. Like, you're not going to believe this. So she was in a car going kite surfing with her friends. And there was like friends of friends there in the car. And there's this older guy there picking up the phone in the car while they're driving to the beach. And he starts talking about mold. And he's talking about remediation and mold and mycotoxins. And she said her ears just like became so big. And the guy hangs up and she's like, excuse me, like, were you talking about mold on the phone? And he was like, yeah, I'm a mold remediator. I've been doing it for 30 years. Like, that's my whole life. And she goes, what? Okay, I have friends here on the island. They're in the middle of a mold crisis. They don't have a place to live. And, you know, can I please give my friend your number? And the guy was like, of course. Yeah, no, I'll go see her house. So I text him. This was 4 o'clock. I'm like, hi, my name is Rachel. I heard that you, like, how bizarre is this? I heard that you are a mold remediator. Would love to find out, you know, if you could come and take a look at our house. 30 minutes later, this man shows up. 30 minutes later, like, all of this happened within 30 minutes. And I'm at the house. I haven't been like inside the house since all this happened. We're not supposed to enter the house without like complete protective wear. You're supposed to wear head to toe like hazmat suit, N95 masks or better masks with like cartridges, gloves, booties, like everything. And I'm there in my sundress, my flip-flops, you know, didn't even have a mask. Like, I had nothing. And I'm like, this urge that I have inside in my bones to have it proven that I'm not crazy, right? That there is actual mold, not just from this test and not just from my intuition and not just from what I know, but like from what people can see, right? We go in the house. It takes this man. I mean, this man, his name is Gary Gilman. Anyone in the US, like, I'm going to shout him out because he's like an angel from heavens. He has a company called Steam Masters. You can look them up at steammasters.com. He's in Vail, Colorado, but they do remediation and restoration like all across the US. He's this hippie from Colorado with long hair who surfs and like this just super cool guy. He takes 5 minutes in our house, like with a flashlight and a hammer, and cracks open the first baseboard he finds in our bedroom where Dennis and I sleep. And it is littered with mold. It's littered. It's like, it's brown and black. It's like the whole wood. And this is like the baseboard. We have them in every room of the house. A baseboard, these like wooden planks, right, that are on the bottom of the wall, of each wall, and they're wood. The rest of the house is concrete, but this is like a wooden aspect of our house. Mold loves wood. Mold loves organic material. Mold can still grow on concrete, but it will grow on the wall, right? It won't grow into concrete because it's not porous, or it's rare for it to grow into concrete, right? But we have this wood all around our house. The first one he cracks open, it's full. We have, I mean, how many? 1, 2, 3. We have like 10, 12 of those baseboards in our bedroom, right? They're all fucking full of mold. And then we look at our blackout blinds. And I'm like, once we had like a mold stain here on these blinds, but we cleaned it, so it's clean, but I still don't know, like, how did that grow there? Is it from the AC? Like, I've been thinking, like, could it be that the AC is the root of our mold? Because it's a strange thing, right, to live in a really warm climate and have a cooling system indoors. It creates condensation, like this drastic difference between temperature, hot and cold, creates condensation, and condensation is wet, moisture. Wherever there's condensation, there will be mold. And then this guy's like, huh, interesting. Like, have you ever taken these blinds out to see what's on the other side? Like, and I'm like, no, that has never occurred to me. I mean, we just bailed on the house, right, as soon as we got these test results. So he takes the blinds out and turns them around, and there's mold covering these blinds. I mean, this is like 2 feet from my face where I sleep every single night. And it's visible black, brown, green mold just covering the fucking blinds. So it's in the baseboards. It's there. He found it in the bathroom. He found it in the AC unit connection. Like, there's been leaking into the wall there. I mean, and he says also it's like, and this was just him, like, he spent 2 minutes, right? It wasn't like the proper inspection where you open up and you look under the floor and in the ceiling, all this stuff. Like, this was just him, this guy with a flashlight, right? And I'm looking at this and I'm like, I trying not to burst into tears, right? In front of this stranger that I've never met before, with a relief of like, I'm not crazy. Like, I knew it. And then with every mold expert we've spoken to, they all keep asking us about attic space and crawl spaces and basements. And we don't have that. Like, we don't have a crawl space. We don't have a basement. We're 100% sure we don't have an attic. We have a flat roof. It's like this weird thing. And then this guy, like 10 minutes later, he's like, oh, so here's your attic. And I'm like, I thought we didn't have an attic. He's like, yeah, you have an attic. Should we go up there? We get the ladder. The man, like, goes up into our attic and it's covered with mold, right? It's like covered with white aspergillus. It's what it's called, which is the thing that came out like max high on our test. It's all over the attic. And this attic has like a hole. There's like a hole behind a cabinet in Leia's room where this attic air just goes straight into her room. So she's like, the whole house is breathing this attic air, and we have mold in all of these areas, right? And, you know, he did this whole house inspection. I said, thank you. Like, I'm like, if it wasn't a global pandemic, like, I would hug you right now. He left. He was like, I'll help you with this. Don't worry. Like, we're going to get to the bottom of this. Like, I'm going to teach you guys how you can clean this. You don't need to pay the crazy money over with those guys to do this in that way. You should cancel this other inspection. The other inspection is going to find, like, you know, I can find like 90% of everything. They would find 100 of it, and they would tell you exactly what from all the lab tests. Like, but like, I'm going to help you. And then he left, and I just sat in the car and I cried. I mean, one of those, I could cry thinking about that cry. You know, one of those cathartic, like, there's snot coming out of everywhere, like hyperventilating, kind of wailing cry. You guys know what I mean. It's like those once a year kind of like life falling apart slash relief slash grief. I mean, I cried so hard I had to change out of my dress because my dress was wet. I cried and cried and cried and cried. And honestly, the majority of that cry, it wasn't just like grief and sadness that this is going on in our house, but it was relief. Honestly, it was relief because the hardest part about this is not just like, oh, we have toxic mold and we have to fix it in this house that we love, right? But no one believes me. Like, that part, I'm sick and no one believes me, or they kind of believe me, but they don't get it. Like, that feeling. And, you know, the moment Dennis saw the actual visible mold, it was like, oh, I'm sorry. I get it. Like, I get it now. I don't know if it's a man thing, if it's a Dennis thing or what, but like, he needed to see it with his own eyes to fully digest and understand, like, okay, it is real. We have mold. We have to fix this. Okay. That's where we are now. And what feels kind of beautiful about that is that we have a road forward. Like, we will be able to fix this. Like, we will be able to to manage this. We know what needs to be done in every room. We know we need to redo the roof. Like, there's a lot of huge things that we need to do in this house, but there's a way there, right? We're not floating in the sea of having no clue of what to do with our lives. It's like, okay. So the plan is now is, you know, also to try to save as much money as we can so that we can really make it all the way through, is for Dennis to project manage the house and, you know, take complete charge and fix everything that needs fixing. So an example of that is like that baseboard in our bedroom, like that's one of many, right? You have to take the organic material out, like if you have mold. So here's like a step-by-step thing, okay? Because I'm an expert now. You can do this with a company, which of course is like the easy. I mean, if you live in the States, you live in a country where there are great companies that can do this for you and you have the money for that, then fuck yes, do that. I mean, 100%. There are shitty mold remediators out there. Like, I know that there's a lot of franchised companies. So many people told me they had mold remediation done and then they had to do it again. And then they had to do it again because the company they got wasn't good enough. So I would rather, if you have the funds, pay more for a proper, like really good inspection and good remediation if you have a mold problem in your house. If you don't have the funds for that, here's what I learned from Gary. Okay, Gary, this life-saving man on a kiteboard. So wherever you have mold, you got to take the organic material out. And the industry standard is you have to take everything out 2 feet above and around the last visible mold area, right? And there's certain mold that you can't see. Like, for instance, this mold that we have in our attic, it's white and it's growing on wood and plywood, so we can see it in there. But if it was on a white wall, you wouldn't be able to see it, right? So there are certain products you can buy that you spray on a wall and it starts to foam up. So you can see like where exactly is the mold, how far has it gone, if the mold isn't like visible and green and black and brown and stuff like that. So you take all the organic material that you can, you have to take out and discard of, right? Throw away as far as possible. You have to scrape everything off, like all the paint, all the building material, like maybe make sure you really get rid of all of the mold. And then you have to sanitize it and clean it. And there's, you know, like medical grade equipment that you can use. We've been using, we bought something called Benefect, which I'm going to do a blog about this where I link some stuff. But it's the one I found online that's the least toxic because I don't relish the idea of like blasting the entire house with toxins either, right? Like there's more natural and less natural ways to go about it. But we're going to be using this thing called Benefect. And you got to clean it really well. I mean, like, go in there with everything you have. You don't want anything left behind, right? There's also a step where, like, if it's dry, you can use a HEPA vacuum, you know, all there's a lot of like stages to this. But according to Gary, it's like you take the material out, you sanitize it super well. And then there are these antifungal sealers you can use to make sure or to like prohibit that mold will regrow in the area. And then when that's dried, clean and totally dried, then you can rebuild a wall or repaint or like fix the cosmetic part of the house, right? And this you have to do in every area where you have ever had mold, right? And the good thing about this is that once you're aware that mold is a massive issue, it causes crazy medical issues. Oh my goodness. Like, as soon as you find a water leak anywhere in your home, it takes 24 to 48 hours for mold to grow. Just so you guys know, I don't want to like freak you out. But if you have a water leak, you find out, oh, I have a pipe that's leaking just a tiny bit, or a window that takes in rain, or a little leak in the roof or whatever, you fix it like immediately today. You don't wait and go, okay, I'll take care of this whenever. Fix it now. And there are like basic ways you can take care of this or at least minimize the damage even on your own if you can't afford to hire one of those bigger companies to help. But it's a really important thing. And I wish I knew back then, because we had so many little leaks and like rain would come in through a window because it wasn't properly insulated, like stuff like that. But then the next day, you know, the rain is gone, everything's dry, and we would forget about it. Like, I didn't know that that's an issue, even living in a concrete, you know, or a block house, like not a wooden house, you know. And then after that, so you have to clean out everything in your home where there's been mold, which is why this project is going to be a really, really, really big one. An example of what Gary found at our house. I was so confused about the blackout blinds that we have. Like, why are they covered in mold? I don't understand. As far as I know, We don't have leaks here. When it rains, I've never seen like water coming from there. Like I don't get it. And then we went up to my little rooftop patio. If you follow me on Instagram, for sure you've seen this rooftop patio. It's where I do all my tea ceremonies. It's where I do my practices. It's this little outside space. And when I sit there, I often think there's this little section of wall there that has exposed cinder block. And I often think like, oh, I really want to paint that. Like I'm so annoyed. Like the Libra in me is like annoyed that I'm in this meditation space and it's not perfect because there's this exposed block up there. And I thought this is something cosmetic, purely, you know, aesthetic. I guess cosmetic is the wrong word for the aesthetic. And I've even told Dennis, like, I really want to paint this. It doesn't look good there, you know, but it's like minor and it's like kind of off to the side. So I don't think about it all the time. Well, we were out there and Gary's like, hey, this is not finished. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, whoever built this, they didn't even seal the blocks. There's not even like the cement and the grout in between. It's just blocks stacked here and they need to be completely sealed and painted. So every time it rains, he said the water goes from here through these blocks down into those blinds. And that's where the water collects in the metal part of the blind that holds the blind together. And that's where the mold is growing. Like this is the root cause of the issue you have down there in your master bedroom. And I'm just like, it's a trip, you guys. It's such a trip. It's such a trip, the whole thing. And the hardest part I feel now, or the thing I'm trying to wrap my head around, is I have spent all these years healing, right? Like everything I do in life really comes down to healing, like me trying to heal, me wanting to heal trauma, heal childhood, heal wounds, heal my body, heal my health, all of this. And I've been doing that in a toxic house. Like, what does that say about my life? How crazy is that? I'm thinking about every therapy session, every yoga practice, every moment in meditation, every dynamic meditation, every tea ceremony, every gathering, like everything I've done for healing in that house. And the house has been poisoning me. I mean, the symbology of that, it's like it's too big for me to even begin to process. Right? This place I thought was my safe space has been making me sick. And this is a really, 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 really big thing. I mean, that says so much about my entire life. And it's just, in a way, you know, thank God, of course, thank God that now I know. Thank God I trusted my gut and I pushed to get these answers when no one believed me and everybody called me crazy. You know, it's almost like the healing that can happen now, wow, it's really hard to, wrap my head around. I mean, it really, really, really is. And even just this idea of living in a toxic structure, or even, I'm thinking about that today, this morning, I was like crying about that, but like how did I live in a house for 8 years that had an attic I didn't know existed? What? You know? And like, let's talk about presence, like actual presence, like parts of my life where I have been totally checked out. Like it never occurred to me to have an inspection done of the house or even for me to do that work on my own, like to really get to know the nooks and crannies, you know, of the roof and of the walls and all this stuff. It's almost like I deemed all of that, like that's not my job, you know. I haven't been present with the house in that sense somehow. Like it's like I've been beautifying and creating harmony and gardening and all of this stuff, right? Raising a child, like I labored in this house, all of this. But there was this huge area where I just didn't see, right? Or that I didn't know. Like how was there an attic this whole time and I didn't know? Like that says a lot about where I have and where I haven't been present. And where I haven't been present, shit has been toxic. The parts of my life where I haven't set boundaries. I mean, this says so much about my family dynamic and relationships and my relationship with money. It's like everything is sort of unearthed right now. Like there's been dynamics in my life that have been so completely toxic. And most of it is because I haven't been present there, right? Areas of my life where I've been checked out, relationships that have been too heavy, where I've just allowed anything to continue, not being able to set boundaries, not being able to put my foot down, claim my space. You know, it's, I mean, this is so heavy because I have faith that we're going to fix the house, that we will be able to save the house, but we also don't have a place to live, right? Maybe for 6 months. I don't know. And it's raising all these questions like, is this where I want to live? We were talking about that. Like, okay, if we're supposed to find a long-term rental now for a year, or yeah, look, maybe we can find a dream property somewhere, you know, and this feeling in my gut that's like, I don't know if that's Aruba. So many of you guys were telling me on social media, like, hey, haven't you had a lot of signs in the past year that maybe Aruba isn't where you're supposed to be? Isn't the universe kind of nudging you? Like, and I'm really sitting with that. Like, if I got to start fresh somewhere or set down new roots in a really healthy way, like maybe that's Sweden. I'm thinking about that every day. Maybe that's Sweden. And just in this therapy session I just had, she asked me, like, if you close your eyes right now and you really, really picture, like, what do you need? What do you need right now? And all I come to is peace. Like this chaos, this destruction, this toxicity, this mess, like this drama, this not being believed, like this illness, like all of this. I just need peace. Like I need peace and quiet. I need a peaceful place to heal. And then she asked, okay, so if you envision that place, like what do you see? And I'm crying now because it's so tangible. It's so tangible, this feeling of what I need, like what I want. Like I can close my eyes and see it. I want cold water, like a dock in Sweden, like a little house in the forest on the water with a little dock where there's cold water for me to swim naked in, and trees to hug, and a forest for Leia. Like I'm just, like I see it. It's like I can touch it. Like a house by the sea in the woods somewhere in Sweden. I would, if I could teleport myself to that right now, I would leave all of this behind and just go, you know? And I'm seeing this like, okay, I'll take a month without a phone, without a computer, without anyone. You know, I don't have to tell anyone I'm going. And just spend a month in this peace and quiet and just heal, you know, just to be with nature. So if anyone listening right now has a little house by the water in the woods that you would like to rent me, email me at rachel@yogagirl.com. I love it when my like longing to the universe becomes an actual ask into the world. That's like, ooh, that's a little scary. What does that mean? But yeah, if I can see a way through, it would be honestly, like now I have to pack up the house. I have to get all that protective wear so I can be there to pack things up and save, try to save what we can save, let go of what we have to let go of. And then I know we're in the middle of a global pandemic, but I'm getting a mask and getting on a plane. Like, that is my plan. That is my plan. So I know I started this episode saying I was going to share some resources, but aside from cleaning mold, I haven't really. I'll know a little bit more about health starting tomorrow. Finally, this protocol, like an intense detox protocol. Dennis, Leia, and I are starting it, all of us. So I think I'll know a little bit more about, yeah, how to detox. And what I already know is that you need to support your liver completely. So, you know, if you feel or think, or if you know you're living with mold, anything you can do to support your liver, you know, I'm off alcohol, off sugar, off gluten. I miss bread. But I'm trying to do everything I can to support my body physically so I can get all of this out of my system and hopefully start to feel better at some point. But I'll keep you posted on all of that. You know, the big takeaway from this past week for me has been this gut feeling. you know, and so many of you have written me saying, I have a feeling, I have a feeling. We had this leak one time and I've asked people around and I asked this. And, you know, I think also like as women, I think we are a little more inclined to take our health issues more seriously, you know, and mold illness, it affects women at a much higher rate than men as well. So if you have a feeling that something's not right, like go till the ends of the earth and figure that out. And you can do this test. The test I did is called an ERMI test. You can do that and swab at home. You can also do an air test, which is a different thing. But if you really want to know, you know, is to get a mold inspector out there, the best in the biz, I know. And I'm kind of thinking I should do a podcast with a mold expert because this is taking over my life. There's a lot of great, great, great companies out there as well. So if you have the funds, you can do it properly, do it. If you don't, and you know you have an issue, you can take that matter into your own hands and do the best you can. Because honestly, even minimizing exposure, like maybe you know, oh my God, I can't get rid of this whole entire problem meticulously. Well, you can do the majority of it, and that's going to make a difference. Honestly, if you have visible mold, you can get rid of that. You can fix those leaks, like make sure it can't regrow. There's things you can do right now if you have this. But the biggest thing is, like, especially when it comes to our health, and our family's health, is if you have a feeling something isn't right, then trust in that. Trust in that. And don't wait too long. You know, it's kind of like my inner, my system has been telling me something isn't right. And I've been ignoring it for years. And I did a bit of research. I tried and then like, no, okay, that's not it. And I left it. And then it's like every year it got worse and worse and worse. And now here we are. How strange is it that 2021 is more fucked up than 2020 for me. I know for most people it's not, but for me it's like, whoa, is this year, you guys. I want to thank you. I feel like I have to end every podcast these weeks. Just thank you for listening to my ramblings, for holding space for me to cry. I mean, for really just being here with me on this journey. I feel less alone knowing that you're listening to the show every week. I really do. So thank you. I love you. Take care of your health. Take care of your house. Take care of your family. I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. And thanks, of course, to my sponsors. Please support them the way they support this podcast. This has been a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio. If you enjoy the show, please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart, available for free at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, radio.com, and wherever you normally get your podcasts. I'll see you next week.